scripture that correlates with this week. 2,000 years ago or so, the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus this week went riding into Jerusalem. You know where he was going? He was coming there to be accused, condemned, and nailed to a cross. And he volunteered for it. That's the amazement of all this. In 1 Peter 2:24, Peter wrote concerning Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. Being dead to sins means we couldn't do nothing but sin. A person that's unsaved can do nothing but sin. Why is that? They're a sinner. They're sin. They're separated from God. And Peter says we're dead to sin, that we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The stripes there are the wounds of Christ, was for our spiritual healing, the healing of the soul. Not like some people teach, the healing of the body. That's a false teaching, folks. This is talking about the healing of a soul of a person. Jesus died for the healing of our souls. Lord, living God, thank you for loving us. Oh, the love of God. How can we fathom the love of God for sinners, dead to God, dead in sin? And yet your love for us was so great, you sent your only precious Son to come into the world and to be treated the most horrible way, and to be made sin and judged for sin, that we who would believe in him could have forgiveness through his shed blood. We praise you on this Lord's Day. We just worship you and thank you as we're reminded in this Easter season, the time of first fruits, of the one that died. Yet he would conquer death so we could live and live with him. We thank you. Help me today, Lord. I'm nothing, Lord. I'm helpless. Lord, bless this congregation for Jesus. And we'll thank you in his name. Amen. None of us like to hear of someone incarcerated for a crime they did not commit, do we? Recently, two black men were released from prison. They'd been there for 47 years serving a life sentence. 47 years they were in prison. And they found out, the court did, they were not the guilty party for the crime that was committed. They'd been in prison for 47 years as innocent men. How would you feel if you were one of those people? They put you in prison for 47 years for something you didn't do. Well, it's happening often in our court system today. Prosecutors that want to make a name for themselves sometimes. lawyers, judges. But I want to tell you about a man who was innocent, who never committed any crime. These two black men had committed crimes in their life because they were sinners. They were not in prison for the crime they were in prison for, they didn't commit. But they were sinners. They had sinned against God. They were not innocent. But the one we're talking about today, the innocent one, had no sin against God or man. I want you to think about that today. A completely innocent, the only innocent person to ever live. Boy, that's something to think about, isn't it? The most pitiful words ever spoken came from the lips of the innocent Son of God while he was hanging on the cross of Calvary. There has never been another innocent person to die. Every other person that's died has been guilty of sin, breaking the law of God. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, had never, in word, thought, deed, or intention, ever broke man's law or God's law. Translated, that means he was holy. Amen? He was the holy Son of God. Did you know he was the only one qualified, the only one, to take away our sin? Did you know he was your only hope? He was your only hope, my only hope. All people are guilty of breaking God's law, and we all deserve to die. And the Bible says, because we've all sinned, we're all going to die. The reason people die is they're sinners. Read the Ten Commandments. We, everyone, broke the first one. All except Jesus. He's the only one to ever keep the Ten Commandments. This one hanging on the cross, bleeding, dying, amidst the jeering, taunting, godless crowd, was innocent. Think about that. He not only was innocent, but he had to hear all the sneering, shouting, hate, bitterness, anger, filthy talk that was being jeered at him. He had to experience all that. He was even forsaken by God. The only person to ever be forsaken by God was Jesus Christ. We can't even imagine how helpless that would be. To be completely cut off from God. When people die and are cast into the lake of fire, they'll be like that. Completely cut off. The cry from the lips of Christ expressed the desperation of his heart when he cried, as expressed in the Psalms, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Repeated in the Gospels as well. If you'll take time to really read that and think about it as you read it, the desperation in that cry, the hopelessness, the helplessness, the painfulness of his soul crying out in desperation. It troubles me because he was doing that for me. He was doing that for me. He would have did it for anyone if there had only been one person. That's love, folks. That's love. Never ever had Jesus been separated from his Father. But now he was completely forsaken and abandoned by God when he was hanging on the cross. Now all alone he suffered for the sins of all the world. Think about the masses of people that's coming to the world. All sinners. And he was suffering for all sinners. Who knows the horror he experienced in those hours? Words won't explain it. Who knows the agony of his soul being made sin? The Bible says his soul. You are a soul living in a body. Even his soul was made sin to be judged. We're talking about how holy God is. We're talking about how much God hates sin. That he was going to deal with his son in my place. And only God's son was able to pay for our sin. No other person or animal or object. Think of all the sins of man being transferred from all the people of the world and placed upon Christ. All sin. Sins like adultery, fornication, selfishness, greed, rebellion, drunkenness, liars, pride, lust, murder, robbing, stealing, rebellion, the immoral, the homosexuals, and so forth. All of that was placed on Jesus, and he became that cursed thing that a holy God hates, and his wrath fell on his son. 2,000 years ago, that was taking place for me, for you. And this morning, you gonna tell me you can't live for the Lord? This morning, you gonna tell me that you're not thankful to God Almighty for providing for the salvation of your soul, and you won't walk humbly before your God? I want you to think about it when you leave this church today. What God has did to rescue your soul, and none of us deserved it. We're talking about God's love for you. He was willing to go to this extreme because he loves you so much. All of these sins against a holy God who will not tolerate them in his creation. That's the reason one day this world's going to be burned up with fire, melted down, to get rid of the effects of sin that's contaminated and polluted God's beautiful creation. Folks, we're living in a generation today. Of course, it's been that way in every generation. When people have no time for God, this book is ignored. It's not reverenced. It's not believed. Many places it's mocked, it's hated, it's despised. But John 3:16 summarizes the whole book. God loves us all so much. God loves us all so much. So Jesus volunteered for this. When I went into the army, I was advised before I got to boot camp, don't volunteer for nothing. One day we were standing in formation, and the sergeant said, "I need somebody with his driver's license to drive the Cadillac. How many won't drive the Cadillac today?" Boy, the hands just shot up. "Okay, you, and you, and you." My hand stayed down. You know what they had to do? Take a wheelbarrow and pick up cigarette butts. That was the Cadillac. Jesus Christ volunteered for the cross. He knew what he was getting into. But he loved me that much. He loved you that much. How do we understand such love? You think your mama loves you? Her love is so puny beside of God's, because she's limited. God was not limited, was he? He would give his best, his son, to rescue me. Oh, I'm so happy I've been rescued, and I know it. Amen? You know you've been rescued? You know you're going to heaven? Should the rapture happen right now? Would anybody be left behind? I want our church to be 100% participation in the rapture. Amen? I don't want anybody left behind. Now, I'm not going to hang around and wait and see. Amen? So Jesus volunteered. The wrath of God is no small matter. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10:31, "It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." People today, boy, they sneer at God. They think, well, you know, that's no big deal. Hey, you wait, the deal is you. And you're without the Lord, folks. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. All those who choose to die separated from God will, to their dismay, discover the wrath of God in the lake of fire forever. It will be a dreadful, terrorizing ordeal that will never end. The soul of a man was made to live forever somewhere. Although Jesus' mother and John stood near his cross on that Friday, they were helpless to help. That must have been a bad feeling for his own mother and the disciple John and others to stand there and see Christ nailed to that cross. They were helpless. How they must have suffered seeing the one they love suffering and dying and hearing the sneering, jeering crowd taunting him. The Holy Scripture said in John 1:11, he came into his own. His own received him not. His own people had him nailed to that cross. The nation of Israel did not want him because he was not the Messiah they were looking for. Oh, they loved him when he was feeding them, when he was healing them. Messiah they were looking for would deliver them from those Romans. They were excited when he was healing their sick and afflicted. And boy, they just loved those fishes and bread that he could take and make from so few. Oh, he was popular then. We see it somewhat today. Some of these dudes go out and claim they're performing miracles, getting big crowds. Yeah. Sometimes they get exposed, don't they? And the crowd drifts away. The nation of Israel didn't want him because they were not looking for that kind of a Messiah. When he raised the dead, boy, they didn't know what to say or do. But when he failed to set up the kingdom of God, they had no more use for him. And that's the way it is with people today. They want a Savior like they want. We want us a Savior that I can claim salvation and go out and live like I want to. Let me tell you something, church. When you get saved, you don't belong to yourself no more, according to this book here that I preach from. You've been bought. You not only have a Savior, but as I heard a message this morning, He's your Lord. He's our Lord. He owns us. We're to do what He says. It's not up to me anymore. I'm His servant. And you know why? Because He wants the best for us. He has a better life for us than the life I planned. The life I planned wouldn't be the best life. Jesus was unwanted. Do you want Jesus? Amen. You want Jesus? Is there any pain more severe than being unwanted? Have you ever felt unwanted before?
Amen.
I tell you what, that's not much pain greater than being unwanted. Sometimes you get church members, they don't want you no more. Sometimes mates don't want you no more. Sometimes friends don't want you no more. It hurts. It really hurts. You know what? People take their life because they're unwanted. A lot of the drug situation is people are on drugs because somebody didn't want them. It's sad, folks. Soldiers come home. They've given so much in the service, they come home and the government don't want them. 22 of them committing suicide every day. Earl, don't you try that, son. There's a God you can put your hope in. Trust in. Many people, they take their life because they've been rejected and unwanted. Judas said Jesus was innocent. Judas, the one that betrayed him, he even admitted Jesus was innocent. I'm talking about the innocent one today. Remember the disciple that betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? When he saw what was happening to Jesus, he tried to return the money. Matthew 27:4 saying, I've sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. I betrayed him. He admitted it. He realized it. He made a bad mistake. But when you make a bad mistake, you can't undo it, church. You can't undo sin. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse. And only He can forgive. And He wants to. He would have forgiven Judas if he'd have come to Him and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But he didn't. He admitted he had done wrong and went out and hanged himself. That didn't resolve the problem, did it? No. Pilate, the governor, said Jesus was innocent. In Luke 3:4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. In Matthew 27:24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. You know what? Pilate was not innocent. Pilate was the man with the word to let Jesus go or condemn him. But for political reasons, he let him be condemned. Folks, there's no excuses. Even Pilate, the Roman governor, knew that what the Jews were doing was not right. They were conspiring against an innocent person. Jesus Christ was innocent, folks. He had no sin. He did no wrong. He'd always went about doing good. But washing his hands didn't put away his guilt. Refusing to stand for what was right on his part did not justify it. He was a spineless politician like we got today, who was more concerned about his own job than the life of an innocent man. And more pathetic, that innocent man was God's only son, the Holy Son. Pilate's problem became so great after the death of Jesus, it said, he took his own life. Did that solve his problem? No. Let's talk about the purpose of this innocent man. Do you know how guilty of sin you are before God? The Bible says concerning sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you realize what would have happened to you had Jesus not took your place? Do you ever realize that? Think about that. It's scary. It's really scary, folks. If God was not the kind of God that God is, we'd all be pitiful. I want to tell you that today there's hope with the Lord. God loves us all so much, he was willing to give up his only son to this most horrible crucifixion and dying on a cross and being made sin. It wasn't just the being crucified, that's awful enough. But being made sin and being judged for sin, being separated from God. Boy. That's the ultimate. But because God loved you so much, that's the reason Jesus came as an innocent man to rescue us. Do you realize what a treasure you are to God today? You're a treasure to God today. You're special to God today. You're a trophy that God's going to show off to the angels one day. Think about it. You're a trophy. God's going to show off. My son bought these for me. He redeemed these for me. And the angels can't understand it. God's great love. How many times do I hear Billy Graham say, there's a lot about God I don't know. Now, I've learned a lot about God over the years from that old book there, my teachers. But there's a whole lot about that no theologian knows about God. There's a whole lot about God we're still in the dark about. Now we'll be learning about his goodness and his love and his greatness for us forever. We'll be learning and experiencing it, folks. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Why can't I preach hard enough to reach everybody? The Bible says in Revelation 20:15, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. To me, this is scary. What if we had no Savior? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Just meditate on that this week. He that hath the Son, or believeth on the Son, hath everlasting life. Present possession. Present possession. It's not you're going to die and find out later if you were saved or not. No. If you're not saved now, it'll be too late to try to find out later. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him, John 3:36. Jesus came to die as man for the sins of the world. Only a man could get rid of sin. It was a man that brought sin into the world. Only man could get rid of sin. So what man could get rid of sin? There was no man that could get rid of sin, because all men were guilty of sin. It required a perfect sacrifice that would please God, a God that would accept that sacrifice. Not just any sacrifice. All those millions of bulls and goats and doves and pigeons, they never saved a soul. All those sacrifices. I can just hear the bleating of those animals dying. Dying in vain. But they were only pointing to the one that whose death could save me and save you, church. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome, folks? Acts 8:32, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Think about them Romans leading him, him bearing his cross up Golgotha to Golgotha's hill. And like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't even try to defend himself. He didn't even try to get out of it. Amen. Amen. Man, today he's caught for some crime and he tries to explain it away, doesn't he, brother? This is why. Or no, it's not me. But not Lord Jesus Christ. He put up no defense. He put up no defense. Like a dumb animal, he stood before them, accepting the guilt, accepting the penalty, so I could be rescued, so you could be rescued. Folks, I'm talking to you about the innocent one. I'm talking to you about the one that is the gospel. Because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we have salvation and we have hope. We live in a world that's cruel. We live in a world of hate and anger, suffering and death. We're going to be delivered one day. We're going to be delivered. It might be sooner than some of you think. It could be. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Only the blood of Jesus Christ is making any of us acceptable to God. The blood of Christ is applied to our hearts when we trust Him as our personal Savior, and all of our sins are washed away. They're as far as the east is from the west. They're cast behind God's back of forgetfulness. They'll never be mentioned anymore. What a good deal, amen? And it's free. That's even better. It's free. You're that loved. Go downtown today and see what they'll give you free. They won't even give you a hamburger. Of course, a hamburger will almost break you up now, won't it? Hey, but God's going to give you salvation and eternal life and a robe of righteousness. Amen. Boy, we're going to have a time, folks, when we get to that city. We're going to have a time. This is God's love in action for you and me. All I can say is only a deceived fool would reject the love of God in Jesus Christ. Like I said a while ago, I tried to talk to someone this week about the Lord. He was just as interested as that thing there is. Just as interested as that is. That's what sin does to you. That's what sin does. It's amazing to me how some people, and the lesson today talked about God's elect or God's chosen. It's amazing to me there are chosen people and those that are not chosen. Of course, I understand that we get to decide, do we want to accept Christ? But look at how it was arranged so I could accept Christ. There's a mystery in all this, folks. You better be praising God that you've been accepted. You better be praising God you're one of the elected ones. You better be praising God He loves you. You better not be taking God Almighty for granted. Think of this, someone who had no sin agreed to take your sin. Johnny, you were down at the courthouse a lot over the last 20 years. Did you see anybody go in there and volunteer to pay for somebody else's crime? Oh, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting, brother? Nobody went in there to take somebody else's punishment for their crime. Jesus took yours. Jesus took mine. He volunteered. So you could live forever. Do you know 10 trillion, 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 trillion years from now, you'll still be going around and you're going to be just as young?
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. You're going to be young. You're not going to have any backaches. You won't be going to the hospital to get hip replaced? Amen? No. And you can eat fat back all day. Amen? Yeah. The guilty being exonerated just because we believe in the one who was innocent that died for me. Folks, I'm telling you about the most important message there is in this world. I'm telling you about the innocent one that died for you. Yeah, the good news. When the innocent died, it was what was happening that is amazing. In Matthew 27, look in your Bible, Matthew 27. When Jesus died, here's what happened. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That beautiful temple there in Jerusalem, that veil in the Holy of Holies that only the priest could go behind once a year, that veil was rent from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Notice that. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Boy, that's a passage of scripture. That's the moment Jesus died. Now, those didn't get out of the grave until after he was resurrected, though, it points out. The veil in the temple that separated the holy from the most holy place was rent from top to bottom. The rent of the veil was to signify that the way to heaven was open now to all people. And that veil was about 3 to 5 inches thick, I'm told. And it said a team of oxen couldn't have ripped that veil. It was so strong. But the hand of God, pew! The earthquake was a miraculous convulsion of the earth in attesting to the truth that the sufferer was the Messiah, the Son of God. Boy, it frightened that crowd on Golgotha when that all happened. It was an exhibition of his wrath at the crimes of those who put Jesus to death. And it was not confined just to Judea, but it was felt in other countries, it's been noted. What an earthquake. The rocks rent were torn asunder. The rocks still at Mount Calvary are thought to be the ones that were convulsed when the Savior died that day 2,000 years ago. The graves were opened after Jesus' resurrection, and the bodies of some of the saints arose and appeared in Jerusalem to many people. Don't you know that was a sight to behold? Jesus is the resurrection and the life, who has the power over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can y'all imagine this? He was dead. He was buried. He was sealed in a tomb by the Romans and a guard placed there. But somebody said, he said he was going to get up. So they posted that guard to make sure he didn't come out. But you know what? We'll talk about next Sunday. He come out and didn't even open up the rock that closed the door. He don't need a door. You know why Jesus don't need a door? Because he is the door. Amen. But folks, we're going to get a body like his body one day. Amen. Aaron, you can jump out of an airplane then and no fear, son. You won't need a parachute. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a Savior, folks. What a Savior, folks. We got something to celebrate. And this coming Friday, we call it Good Friday. You know why it's Good Friday? Because he died for me. Died for you. He was paid for sin. He died on the cross and paid for sin. But if he hadn't arose, it wouldn't have been no good. He had to arise or he wouldn't have been no good. But sin was paid for on the cross. And 3 days later, he arose victorious. Praise God. Why would the innocent one die such a death? Because we are so loved by God and the Savior himself. This all shows how valuable the soul of man is to God. Do you realize how valuable your soul is? Your soul is so valuable. Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven to through the womb of a virgin and was born a little babe and grew up like all people. Experience of life just like me and you. And then he was falsely accused and condemned and died the most horrible death there's ever been. What a God, what a Savior. Why don't I love him more? Why don't I love him more? How we ought to love him and serve him and share him, folks. That's why we got our different ministries. I wish more people would want to get involved. I wish there was people out there in radio land and television land and in our county. I wish there was more people that really were serious about what this book says. You and I were guilty, but the innocent one took our place and saved us by his grace through faith. Through faith. Are you a real believer in Jesus Christ? Are you a real born-again believer in the Savior that took your place, paid your sin debt, paid it in full? Paid it in full. And God is satisfied. God won't require it again. Your name's been written down. If you're not sure, hey, you can make it sure today. Say, Lord, I am that sinner you died for. I want you to forgive me. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to save me. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Help me to serve you. Our invitation is extended to all of you today. Come pray for somebody who needs salvation. Come pray that yourself can draw closer to the Lord, that you can live a sanctified life for the glory of God, that you can be a witness to others of the grace of God. The invitation is given by Christ himself, folks, by the one that would love you so much. He would take your place. And he wants to use you. He wants to use you to exalt his name, to help other souls to know of his saving grace. Oh, what a Savior he is. Oh, the love of God that's in Christ and in God the Father for all of us, for all the world, folks, the masses in this world that do not know the consequences of their sin today. Oh, God of mercy, as we stand before you this day in this place of worship, Lord, we come here praising you, thanking you, worshiping you. We come here today, Lord, recognizing that you are the Almighty, the Sovereign, Holy, Creator of all things, and that you love for the world was demonstrated when you sent your Son to die upon a cross for the sins of all the world, that all people's sins have now been paid for. How marvelous, how wonderful. All sin has been paid for. Now you're leaving it up to each and every individual to decide, will they accept that payment? Will they accept your Son? Will they confess their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, speak to hearts. Deal with hearts, Lord. Bless the efforts of this church, Lord. The various ministries that you've allowed us to have in our church, Lord. Through the missionaries, through the radio and television ministries, the newsletter, our sign out front, Lord. And other ways, Lord. Bless, Lord. Use, Lord. Lord, for your glory. And for the souls of those in darkness, we plead in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen and amen.